Welcome to this special episode. So obviously many of you know I do the Super Yacht Laundry podcast, but it's been in my thoughts for a while. I need to talk to some boys, you know, because they're in the yachting industry too. So I found a boy to talk to. Well, slash man. Welcome to the special Balls of Wisdom series, Conrad.
Is that what you're calling it?
I am calling it Balls of Wisdom. You are on Balls of Wisdom.
Am I the first one?
You are the first one. You are the first one. So, you know, welcome to this spin-off series where I get to talk to influential men in the industry. So, you know, you can give yourself a little pat on the back.
God, that sounds weird. Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of the things that are going on in relation to women stuff, not only are women pioneering change and stuff like that, but there are guys doing it too. And you are one of the guys where I believe, and we'll go into that, you are pioneering change for women on board, even though you wouldn't specifically just say you're just helping women out. So we'll kind of go into that now. But welcome. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and everyone listening.
We're here.
Like, as much as I'm going to talk about kind of like safety and compliance, like, yeah, don't shut off now. I'm trying to make it like as interesting as possible. I can see Cherise falling asleep already. I'll make it a little bit interesting.
Yeah, well, you've got to dig deep. Find your wisdom.
Yeah. I'll start now and I might be there by the end.
So, like, you obviously are the founder of Crewbus. Came up with the amazing idea. But before we get into that, bit of background, obviously, you know, we can't go any further to where you are with Crewbus unless we go back to that monumental time in your life when you were on Below Deck.
Oh, we're starting there. We're not starting before. We're starting at Below Deck. Yeah.
Well, we can start before. What was Conrad doing before he decided to do Below Deck?
It all started like literally like 13 years ago. I was in Spain and I was going nowhere with my life. And one day I got a call from my mother of all people. And was like, you should have a look at this yachting business. You know, they earn good money, and I was kind of doing nothing. And so, yeah, just did my courses and flew out to South France, completely winged it for like the first three, and then spent the next 5 years loving working on yachts and working my way up to the ranks, and ended up as bosun on Below Deck. That was a wild card.
I always wonder, you know, you see the adverts come up and like, what headspace are you in going, actually? Well, you were like, series two? It might be not going.
Series three of the med. I was on a board of boat. Do you know what? You should say that. And I can talk about it as a podcast. It's something I've actually not kind of mentioned beforehand. The boat I was working on, I had actually a really bad experience about a month before I applied for Below Deck. And this is actually something I've not actually ever mentioned. I had a first officer on board who we didn't get along. And like a month before I applied, we were in the middle of charter and he dragged me out of bed, put me up against a wall for what he considered was not washing down properly at night.
You out of bed.
Yeah, like just done a night shift, pulled me out of bed, put me up against a wall. And I took it to the captain. Unfortunately, the captain, the first officer, came in after I was employed, and I had a really good relationship with the owners, and they were really jealous of that fact. Like, even to that extent, I had the owners on WhatsApp. Like, they used to send me off with their daughter clubbing at night, just to keep an eye on her. And they didn't like that, so they were kind of primed to try and get rid of me.
Jealousy thing.
Yeah, massively. Yeah. So when I was kind of always, I was feeling very pushed out of that boat anyway, but I really liked the owners. So when the message came in at the same time that it does every year from Below Deck, the scouts, and I thought, why not?
Like, obviously, you know, we I'm used to talking about, you know, if that had happened to a female that she was dragged out. Like you're half asleep and you're literally got someone being physically, you know, physically assaulting you, basically, while you're half asleep and half naked, kind of thing. As a guy, you know, and guys can be quite tough and you can brush things off. Like, how much did that like affect you? Do you, you wouldn't feel safe on board at all.
No, you don't. And especially as like I went to the captain and I was like, this just happened, and he just completely, he was like, okay, I'll look into it, and and nothing happened. The guy didn't, there was no questions asked, there was no nothing. It was like, well, you know, you've probably done me a favor, I want to get rid of him. And yeah, you're like in an awkward, weird environment that it was, what do we do now? Like, how does this work? The problem is like it, the mindset of everyone is shifting as an effect of this, what, this isn't right. However, like I was, when I was in it, you're in a time where it's kind of before that transition has happened, as an effect of everything gets heated on board, stuff happens, you live and work together, this sorts of things blow up occasionally, you all kind of get along with it. However, yeah,
Well,
it was pretty, it was pretty dreadful, I'm not gonna lie. Like I was sharing a cabin with the bloke as well. So it was,
a captain, you expect to lead from the top, you know, regardless of whether they're mates or not, you need to nip that in the bud for stability, you know, on board.
yeah,
No? Because all
it
the other
was.
crew are gonna, like, you'd probably be, most crew would be able to hear it. It's not like it would have just, you know, gone on, you know, it's not like it's in the engine room or anything else and nobody else saw it.
No, it
If
was
you're
in our
in a
cabin.
cabin, everybody can hear it.
It was, yeah. I've never actually to have spoken about it, but it was quite a shocking experience. I remember where it was in Greece. Yeah, it was just a tough thrash, and all it was just because he, well, I did a wash, a rinse down in the middle of the night, and he didn't consider it good enough.
That's ridiculous. So,
Yeah,
like, crazy. It's crazy that, you know, like I've said on other episode, you know, other episodes, you know, yes, okay, the small details are important. You know, you do want to do the best job that you can do, but in the realms of reality, you know, that doesn't warrant that kind of behavior. Even the washdown was bad, you know,
no,
wait until the morning. So
wasn't. Yeah, of
it's
course.
weird that you even have to talk about it to try and work out what the hell, why would that even happen? And it's like you said, I think the industry has, we are now looking at, you know, these
It
kinds
hides the
of
people that prey in those areas because, God, I work in, I
problems.
work in a kind of a corporate environment. Jesus Christ, if you did anything along them lines, fucking hell, I'd have police on my doorstep.
Exactly.
But
Good.
yeah, in yachting, it's
And then you went to below deck where they sabotage everything off
yeah, I just went on below deck and had sex
huge.
on television. It, yeah,
But they
just.
want you to do a really bad washdown so
I
it
know,
happens.
it's nuts, isn't it? So yeah, it's yeah, two crazy experiences straight after one another.
Back to back, but it just in some respects taking the mick out of that tiny little one, you know, that tiny little detail, which is, you know, something that ended up being horrible, is something that is exaggerated in the next experience. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is, you know, when you watch the series, I, you know, I don't believe a lot of it naturally goes wrong.
Yeah.
So you go into that environment. Did you know, obviously, when you sign up to these things, there's lots of articles flying around of like whether being on below deck is going to ruin your yachty career. Did you, were you bothered about that, or were you kind of like on your way, do you think, maybe subconsciously anyway, out?
I genuinely went into it, and I convinced the people closest around me that I was doing it to genuinely. This sounds so cheesy and cliche, but I did it purely to like show how yachting should be done and be that kind of model person to actually be the breath of fresh air in it. That was
Right.
kind of not because I didn't even think about kind of the not fame side of things, but as in that side of things, the kind of how you need to get. Like airtime, that was a thing that I kind of learned very quickly when I started filming. I never went on it for those reasons, merely because I have a really bad habit of just saying yes to everything, like, and doing things for the fact of why not. Was I worried about the career side of things afterwards? Yeah, every single day when I was on board. Like,
really?
It was genuine. I won't use this term very often. It was the most mentally challenging thing I think I've ever done. Because unlike any other experience, like when you're on board, like when you recruit on board, you are purely looking at whether that person's personality is going to mesh with everyone else on board. Are they going to both, you know, Sammy likes skiing. Is she going to go off skiing every weekend with Sammy? Is she going to become best friends with Sammy? Whereas the recruitment on board below deck is you're doing psych evaluations to figure out whether your personality, your values are going to clash with every single person on board. And like you're doing doctor's interviews to try and really find out who you are and what your core beliefs are to make sure that that drama is going to happen before you go on board. That's so when you're on board, the mental side of things is you are constantly trying to figure out how everything you say can be twisted and turned around. You're trying to understand the storylines that they're going to play out, because obviously they're not going to show everything. They're going to show particular storylines. Then at the same time, you've then got the producers. You don't really have too much contact with the outside world at all. So that Stockholm syndrome of everything on board, you're then talking to the producers, like they become like your friends and they talk to you and kind of counsel you, but you're in a vulnerable situation as in the sense of you have no idea really whether this is real world or not, because you've got all these heightened personalities around you. So they're telling you, this person has said this, you know, you've got one shot here, like you should tell that person like how it goes and how you feel and all this sort of stuff to make sure that they get their dramas out on board. And you become so consumed by this situation that right and wrong starts to really merge and go over the lines. And I think that's why it creates so much drama. It's real, like there's no faking, there's no anything like that, but it's the emotional toll that it takes on you. But I didn't really mention this on board, but there was one dark day, well, there's two dark days throughout it where there's no film and there's nothing, but you have a chaperone with you. I had to fly a family member out for that one day just to kind of set me straight again, because it was like
you were just so disorientated.
You have no idea what's right and what's wrong, like who's trying to bend you this way, and like it's so bizarre.
It's so like when you obviously now having that experience, does it make you look at like things like Big Brother completely differently? You know, yeah. And like Love Island and stuff like that. Like they're just trying to engineer conflict or romance or like all of this stuff all of the time.
It makes you look at it a completely different way. Like you're seeing and understanding. You can relate to it in some sense. It's nuts. Like it's really bizarre. Cool experience though. Like one of those things where I had that part of my life ticked off. Like, that was a cool experience. It didn't go bad for me, luckily, really. And I've used it to my advantage since. Like, no matter who I sit down with on a dinner table, it beats talking about the weather, hands down.
It's slightly more interesting than talking about the weather.
Like, no matter what someone's opinion is, they're always interested in kind of how does it work?
It's one of those things. I always wanted to go on Big Brother, but not really, just to get that perspective. Like, what am I really like? Do you know what I mean? To really understand, because what you think you're like and what you are like is generally not the same for a lot of people. You know, you have to do quite a lot of reflection. You did the mental mad experience. Did you go back on board a boat after Blow Deck?
No, I had a job to go back to, but it was back to that boat, and I did not want. I was going to go back to it, but the captain made it very difficult for me. So I was like, you know what, screw it, it's not worth it.
So what happened next?
What I didn't realise was the show was really limiting. You have to do so many things afterwards for months. And it was unclear to me. It was not made very clear to me that I was going to have to, like the filming bits in between and talk shows. So I was wrapped up in that for like 6 months and I couldn't work because they were so, you had to go to these things.
How do you use them?
See, this is where I got screwed. So I heard of other people actually negotiating a retainer for that period. a healthy retainer. Whereas I wasn't aware. I was just, yeah, sure, I can be there. I'll go for that. Just wait for the experience. They paid for everything, but yeah, I didn't get the conversation. And I've not got a penny since. And it blew up big time after I did it. It wasn't as big back then. It's blown up now.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah, COVID really kind of put it out there.
Yeah, like loads of people, you know, even my best friend, she watched every episode of every series that they do, all the different ones.
Mm.
Like, I don't
know.
I think
she did that. And I went and worked for a security company, like a super yacht security company, called Marine Guard for like 2 years. Seeing the installation and overseeing the installation of like the security systems on a lot of the big yachts. And it was during that time, the idea sparked when I was back on my first boat for crew pass. Within 2 weeks of being on board, I was chaperoning the kids to every water park and theme park in Europe. Like I was literally like, I'm pushing one of the kids down the water slides in a water park in Sicily, thinking, this owner has absolutely no idea who I am, and yet I'm just taking his kids to random water parks and theme park in Europe, and I'm just working on board. Like, no one's questioned me. I worked in a school before that for a brief stint. Before it even able to apply for the job, I had to undergo a DBS check.
You know what it's like. I mean, looking back at that scenario and having, you know, you've got kids of your own now, do you think that's too bad?
No, like, I wouldn't leave my kids with with just anyone, let alone let them take them off to a water park. And I guess like these owners come aboard and they assume that everything is done to the highest of levels because they get the highest service, and no one's really questioning who these people are. And you think it's mad. Like, you put a job out on Facebook and you fly in people from all over the world, yeah. and you put them aboard, and provided they've got a good attitude on the phone, it's like, let's get them on. And then
it's quite mad, actually, how I suppose it's trusting, you know, that how trusting everybody is, that everybody's 100% legit on board. And you know, I think that's maybe where the industry might have gone wrong in a lot of ways, because they have been too trusting, and you know, it's said many times, it can be the perfect hiding place for some really bad people, because you know, because it is so loose and no one is checking, you know. So when obviously the idea for crew pass came up, you know, and you got it already, and you know, how receptive was the industry straight away?
I was really surprised of how quickly people started using it, if I'm honest. Like, the way that we set it up was instrumental in that, but it was amazing how quickly people started using it. More to the sense of, like, I wanted to design it such a way that it helped people. However, like, the problem with platform like CrewPass, if you don't make it compulsory, if a boat doesn't make it compulsory, then it's by choice, which is great for the crew members who want to try and use it to, like, yeah, I've been checked. But if a boat doesn't make it compulsory, it's kind of not pointless, but it's more,
it's not necessary, so you don't need to.
No, exactly.
It's an expense that you don't need to pay. If
a prime example of this was, there was a situation, I think we were about a year in, and I do a lot of talks, like with a lot of like crew, and like kind of giving them like the download of just being a crew member, coming from experience, like working your way up the ranks, all that sort of stuff for newbies coming into the industry. I had a situation where I was talking to one group, and generally they come up and ask questions afterwards, and this one chap came up to me and was like, look, I'm just about to kind of get crew pass and just want to go through it, but I just want to make sure that will I pass or will I not? I've got a criminal record, I've got stuff on my record. Stuff on your record is fairly common, like drink driving, that's the most common one. However, he said, "Oh, look, can you look at my record? I've actually got it here because I needed it for a previous job that I went for. And tell me whether you would approve me or not." There was four charges on his record. The first one was sending indecent images to an under 18. The next one was stalking. The next one was the fact he was listed on the sex register.
Which could have been the images, the first one.
Yeah, and it was... There was two more charges on it. But before I'd even read that, like, I came back to him and was like, no. And the most shocking bit is they are in the industry now. I basically said, look, that will flag up and you'll get the client. And he went, okay, never used us. And now he's working in the industry.
Yep.
And actively working on board. So it's pretty shocking. And like, don't get me wrong, the situation like that doesn't happen that often, but it's more the fact of making sure that there is a barrier to entry. And there currently isn't, just as long as you've got a good attitude.
I would even say it like that. You know, I've said it, you know, many times before. So when you said about when you first launched CareerPath, I was cynical like most others. The only people that are going to do it are the ones that kind of want any kind of leverage to get a job. So greenies would sign up to it, which technically, you know, a lot of the arguments is they shouldn't have to pay for anything. But they would do it because they want to get ahead, you know, and do the best they can to get a job. But also, you know, I've said to you, you know, a number of times when we've talked about this, I don't believe most women need to get it. I don't believe the percentage of offenders is high enough for women to warrant it. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure women steal, they get done for got possession, maybe a driving conviction, but they're not generally the ones that are that, you know, dangerous in the bigger sense of the word.
A few things on this. One, we'd never said that CareerPath was like compulsory to get, like never. And the reason why, like, I wanted to obviously open it up so anyone could buy it. Why would I limit it to just boats?
Exactly.
Stupid. I wanted people to use it. On the thing of like women not having to have it, like, you are, like, statistically, you are 100% correct in the sense of like, it is pretty much all males that we get records come back on positive. However, there are the outliers of women. So statistically, you are right. However, like, having that barrier to entry for a boat, like, everyone would need to go for it. Like, imagine a boat going, right, all of our crew, all the male crew members need to go for it, but not the women. Like, it can never happen.
It can't happen, but that's the way the world works. So, like, for what I'm trying to say is, you know, if you look at it, so when people say, oh, in the beginning, like getting greenies to, you know, when greenies signed up for it and all of that kind of stuff, technically, yes, they don't need to. No. But then women don't need to either. But we don't live in a world where you can do that. We all have to do it. So all the women that work on board have to do CareerPath as well, because it's the only way we can engineer this whole system to even make sure that, you know, it's got any chance of trying to filter out some of the people that don't deserve to be in the industry. It's just not the way the world works, unfortunately, because I don't, you know, I said to you before, you know, statistically, you know, I do know a few stats and stuff like that. It's, you know, on the grounds of it, greenies and women shouldn't have to do it at all, but that's not how it goes. And the only way to get the rest of the industry to actually start doing what it's starting to do now, which is positive, is for everybody to get involved.
It's normal in most places, normal in most kind of professional industries. I saw a gap in the way that we were hiring board, and I built a service to try and combat that. You know, I'd experienced quite a lot while I was on board. I had a lot of horror stories while I was on board, and I wanted to do something to counteract that. You know, when we first, my vision was always bigger than what I first created. It was this full, like, red light, green light system of crew members, all the information kept in there. Version one was, it did all right. And now it's like, okay, what does version two look like? How do we really try and combat there's so many situations that happen, and I, we all know that the criminal background checks are not like are not the full solution to this at all. Yeah. There's nothing here over here that I'm saying that as an effect of background checks do it. But however, like, it's a collective of a lot of things. It's creating accountability. It's a crew member can leave a boat, leave off their CV, and never really talk about it again, and probably get away with it. I want to combat that. There are so many things that can be done that I'm actively trying to do and trying to implement that means that, like, that cannot happen. Like, you can't just leave one boat, have no record whatsoever of what your career looked like beforehand, and then go and work on another boat. That's where we're going to combat. That's how we're going to leak out these people.
There's creating a standard, you know, the minimum standard, you know, and I've been talking about this quite a bit recently, especially after the forum, you know, the minimum manning, the minimum standard of crew on board is that we would potentially like people that haven't committed crimes or repeatedly committed crimes. Doesn't sound that big, you know, it's not a big ask. And obviously on land, you know, if you work with, you know, in schools, banks, you know, social services, all sorts of places, it's done as standard, you know, it's all part and parcel of life. So why it's any different when you work on a super yacht or a mega yacht with high net worth individuals, it's kind of a bit mind blowing that they haven't been on the, you know, the really strict, you know, like if you were going to work for government, because these would be very influential and important individuals, and you've got crew on board that haven't been checked. It just kind of blows your mind a little bit.
You know, it's partly for the owner, but it's also for the crew as well. Like, it's probably more so for the crew. Like, you got to think, it's a working environment thing. It's a captain making sure, you know, he's in charge of the ship. He has to follow all of these procedures, making sure the crew are safe at all times. It's like a key element that I think that they're skipping. And that's not from a business revenue point of view. That's more to the fact of, like, we're doing this now, like, 4 or 5 years, and you're there, like, how are you not seeing this? Like,
well, and ultimately, like, your service, you know, it's just a flagging service, no? So, like, they can still hire the person if they really want to. They're just
giving you the information that you should. Like, I don't make the final decision. Don't get me wrong, we got approved, declined, and all that sort of stuff. But we just deliver the facts. Like, whatever we find, we just deliver it. It does make some juicy stuff sometimes. I do enjoy those phone calls.
Give me a range of, let's do it by sex, actually. The range of stuff that women have been done for that has been flagged.
Women, and it's the range
for guys, like what?
Women, women you generally see, like DUIs and possession. That's, I think you would probably imagine those things. Men, I have seen all sorts, from like arson to battery, drug possessions, always pretty common. The outliers and the weird ones, like gambling. There has been prison sentences and stuff like that. There are, you know, those do pop up occasionally. Prison sentences, sex offences.
So everything then, really.
It is, honestly. We have seen it all. We have seen it all. The juicy ones don't happen that often. Like, they're not that often. The regular ones are just drink driving, drug offences. But that allows you to paint a picture of who that person is, because if they've done it regularly, yeah, you can kind of see what their personality is like.
Well, and also this only, it's capturing. So from my understanding, you've extended enlarged the services that you provide at Crew Pass. So it's not just the criminal checks anymore. You're doing new stuff.
I'm an AI geek. Let's just lay my cards out on the table.
You're a bit nerdy. Bit nerdy.
I am. I like using AI, and I like, sounds really bad. I really like to automate things. I like, the less human laborious tasks I can have, the better. I always found it baffling when I was a crew member, and I think a lot of crew members who listen to this will relate to this one. When you apply for a job, I found it the most annoying thing going to every single agency and handing over every bit of information about myself every single time, and then having to update that information constantly. Like handing over 10, 12, 15 documents every single time. And I always thought about the person on the end as in the fact of, like, God, I can't believe they have to go through all those documents.
Are they going through all of those documents? That's probably more the question.
I don't know, but it is, I know they're meant to be, but like, and it started off as a hobby project, to be honest. I wanted to see whether I could get AI to understand what a document, what a maritime document was, and be able to automate it. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with that one, and now I've automated the entire process. So like, crew members, all they do, like, they don't provide any information, just drop all their documents in. And then when they get added to the vessel's crew list and crew pass, it automatically identifies that vessel's compliant. So whether they're compliant or not, based on their safe manning, there's all of, like, if you say a crew member needs their captain's license with a Master 3000, the system will automatically determine whether that person, whether they meet that criteria or exceed that criteria. And like everything down to every level, the system just handles it and will tell a boat whether they're compliant or not, or who they need to look out for. There's no data entry, there's no checking. It's everything. Like EMs, for a prime example, it will check that the doctor is listed under the MCA's approved doctor's list in real time. Like, it checks it at that moment. And like all the expiry, like there's no data entry, there's nothing. And then building everything into that one, like if we're marking within crew pass who goes on what boat, or we're digitally stamping that employment history, what a third party is, so like a recruiter or a management company is digitally stamping that employment history. So we create verified employment history of when someone comes on a boat, when someone leaves a boat.
So I love that, because it's no, I hate that when you have to go and do your CV and like, when did I join again? I don't remember.
You know, then we create a connected network. We know which crew members were on board what boat at what time, and then we allow them to kind of see verified references of who was connected with who at what times. And the same way with self-reported, like you can kind of see that mesh information. It creates that transparency in the fact of if that person is jumping from boat to boat and causing problems, and they're just leaving off their CV, well, now they're held accountable for that. So they are aware. They may have had a bad patch, but everyone does. And then likewise, then with like applying for a job, and this is something we've just released, and we've got one of the big management companies at the moment testing out for us, where they just create a link with the position on board. Well, we've already got all the position requirements, so they need like a Master 3000. So they send that to the candidate, and because they've already got a crew pass account, and everything's already on their crew pass account, they just press apply. They press one button and the system automatically identifies whether they've got all the documents, everything they need for that one role. If not, they just have to upload that one certificate that they need, or nothing at all. You're streamlining that entire.
Wow.
Apply, get placed on board. There's no documents, there's no nothing. It's just all automatic, all digital, all verified. That's where we're at now.
Wow. I always knew that you were nerdy. It's just like, every time we speak, we're like, my fucking hell, how much more nerdy can he get?
I love it. Like, I like to, I saw a load of problems when I was a crew member, and now I'm now like, I want to tackle it.
So
it's free as well. There's no payments, there's no nothing.
Don't ask me to pay for it, for God's sake, Conrad.
Jesus, I'm not trying to take money from crew members again.
Oh. Too complicated. It
moans too much.
It's understanding what you're buying into, I think, is probably correct.
Yeah. Exactly.
Correct situation. So with, obviously, you know, if an individual, so what I like about obviously what you're doing, if they're willing to lie about their certificates, what else are they willing to lie about? I think that is a big is quite a big statement. Or they're willing to lie and say that they haven't got a criminal record when they have. You know, I'm not, it's not like, you know, anybody who has a criminal record is horrible. I know quite a few people that there was an incident, it all got a bit out of control. It's something that they deeply regret. They've never done it since. Do you know what I mean? It's not that kind of, looking for that kind of individual. But it does sound like we're going to start getting to a place where we can catch, you know, serial liars and dangerous people that can find ways to hide themselves within the yachty world, which, you know, just don't deserve to be there.
It's more, yeah, it's creating, how you're going to do it is accountability. Like, if you have something with information you can see on the moment, like, you've got a job post out there, and it's the Wild West. Who's going to apply? From what direction? Who are they? Where are they come from? It used to be different. Like, you look at yachting 10, 15 years ago, all the hiring was done in the pub because Sam on the boat next door knew Jerry because he did some work with him and his mate. So there was a slight audit trail. Okay. Now it's a little bit more rogue. Don't get me wrong. Like, the more experienced crew members, there is connections, there is all that sort of stuff. But it's a bit more wild. Like, you can create any profile with any information and you can kind of piece stuff together. It is creating an audit trail where you know where someone's been, you can see who they've been with, and all of that information is collected. There are, you know, the platforms are getting to this place, but there are so many things that are far behind in the yachting industry that they need to be brought up.
Well, like you said, it probably, if you go back 15 years, the main hiring style was, you know, I work with such and such on this boat, or, you know, they've been doing day work down here and they know such and such and everything else. I still think that probably exists, because if you're on board, you'll probably reach out to who you know first before. But the vessels are getting bigger. You know, the demand is there, and also they want to hire someone tomorrow. So they are leaning into probably unconventional stuff, because the industry itself wasn't as fast paced as what it is now. You know, these vessels are functioning like hotels, you know, and they've got events on, so they need the staff for that event. So who do they got? Do you know what I mean? It's rapid hiring, which I didn't feel like that was particularly that intense when I was on board. And I think if you spoke to people that were on board 20 years ago, I'm pretty sure that 100% it wouldn't have been quite so rapid, especially turnover.
It is pretty rapid now. It's two things on that. One, I don't think it's any more rife than it was before. We just got better systems, better access to this information. I'm sure there was a lot of people in the past that were escaping a previous life. However, the technology is now there to be able to understand who people are. Yes, it takes a little bit of time. There is a lot more people coming in the industry. Below Deck can be thanked for that one. There is no denying that. Yes, probably cause a bit more of that problem.
unrealistic expectations of what the Aussie's like.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it's any worse than what it was. I think there's more people in the industry, so that's why. However, there are the routes and means to be able to identify who these people are and get rid of them.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I especially after last year, you know, the we have to find a way to start really closing the net on some of these individuals. You know, how do we start getting them either convicted or making it just so uncomfortable that they can't actually get a job? You know, creating that accountability.
That's what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, you know, I've got no interest. I'm not a, you know, feminist. I'm not about to bash guys. I know loads of guys are, you know, all very upstanding. But unfortunately, at this moment in time, the industry doesn't have a way to catch arseholes. There's just no way to try and make sure that they get pushed out or held accountable for what they're doing. So how do you do that?
You know? Genuinely, like, I'm working. I've been plugging away for the past 7 months to try and build something that really is the first proper thing that's ever going to combat that. We've got a load of accounts. Like, people have got those accounts. We've background checked a lot of people over the past 4 or 5 years. And, you know, the industry is really small. So, like, the background checking side of things for us, like, you know, we need to kind of branch out to kind of other areas. And it was kind of looking of how we could kind of do this with the compliance and building towards the platform that I'd always kind of envisioned and wanted to see. And putting together those elements now that is going to create, I want to create safer spaces on board these boats. And I truly believe that adding these elements that I'm doing now with, like, the employment history, where it all kind of links together and builds your inner network as such of people that you've touched during your whole career or starting your career or whatever, creates that accountability for those references. You can claim that you worked on a boat, but those people are going to be phoned and going to be contacted to see whether you have worked with that person. And then, you know, let's face it, a CV, you are literally putting your mates down on it. You are putting the people that you
like the most
possible person that you could you know, I know who exactly I would put on my CV, and I know exactly who I'd leave off. In my opinion, they're pointless. So it's that I'm trying to scrap. It's the verification of all of your information, putting it down together. So you can't just, like, I'll change your name a little bit. I used to go by this name. Oh, no, let's bring everything together and let's make everything identical. And then it's moving and verifying all this information as it moves around. And everyone benefits from it.
Where does, so obviously we're talking about, you know, qualifications, official. Convictions also official. Yeah. What about in the social media world? You know, because to be honest, you get some really nice people, but then they go on Yossi's name, fame, and shame, and they're literally like, like it's a free for all rant. And I'm like, I've met you. We've had a nice drink. You don't seem like that kind of person.
There's a few bits on this that we do. So when you run the checklist, we run, like, this happens automatically in the background, like adverse media checks, warrant lists, watch lists, sanctions, all that sort of stuff. That all happens automatically. So the idea is, if something happens that was notable enough to pick up in the media at all, then it will pick up on there. That picks up on our standard checks. Social media checks, as it stands, and I'm going to be brutally honest with them, are fairly pointless. If you have a profile that is private and you've been posting on it, like, pretty bad stuff, if it's private, you can't even access it with a social media check. Like, if you make your profile private, it's not accessible. There are deeper stuff now that you can do. They're like, we call them enhanced internet scrapes. They basically take your name, picture of you, and your email address, and search the entire web for your entire footprint. So
it blows my mind that that's even possible, and I hate the fact that they call it a scrape. It sounds gross.
That's where it gets interesting, because what it does is it, like, everything from, like, every post that you've ever created on websites, anything, like, it's not just social media, it's anything, like, open forums that you've posted with your name or your email address, and, like, even stuff like your accounts, like, every account you've ever created that's been signed up for, like, all the accounts that I've created. I mean, it's got, like, everything from my Vivino to my Gmail account to my
MySpace. Does it go back as far as MySpace?
Yeah, MySpace is shut down, but I'd love to see my I'd love to see my Bebo again if I could ever find that.
That would be interesting. For anybody who's listening to this that isn't old enough, back in the beginning of time when you had to dial up, there were some interesting, you know,
before MySpace. Facebook. No, not MySpace. What was it called? MSN.
Yes.
BRB. Anyway, back in the room. That is where it's at. Like, that pulls up some very juicy data. You know, it does rely on the fact of you need enough of an internet presence to pick a few bits up on, but, like, mine is obviously quite interesting. They're face matches as well. So it identifies your face and then will pull up every single image of you that it can find and puts it in a report. Like,
would it find a twin? Sometimes you have a face twin. Like you find someone like
every
I don't
single
know.
image it picked up of me was me. Like there's no like it's
not like your below deck portfolio just laid out for everybody.
Oh, it pulls up everything on that, obviously, yeah. But what it does is it enables you. Again, it's just giving you the information that you need. Like it gives you like everything from like the sentiments of all the posts that it can find that you've ever written. So whether you're an angry poster or not, or whether it's quite obnoxious the stuff that you're posting, and it will give examples of stuff that you've done. That's giving that to a captain and going, here's this person's internet presence, so you can see whether they're nice, whether they talk about things nicely or not, or they're quite derogative towards women. We had one before that was the clean criminal background, however the bloke was really like obnoxious towards women like online, like pretty derogative.
He's clearly anti-angry women, but you wouldn't for a normal chat. This is what I mean, like, you know, although, you know, we're talking about it in a general sense, there's a lot of individuals out there that are horrible, horrible people that haven't ever been caught. They haven't got a criminal record. They haven't got, do you know what I mean? But they still go from boat to boat, making people's lives a misery.
It's closing the loop with all of these little elements. All of these little elements coming in, it makes it harder because then they have to jump over multiple hurdles. It's not just, oh, can I sound good on a phone call? Oh, right, you've got all of these things that all of this information that we bring together to make a proper profile of you as a person before we then bring you on board. That's where the thing is. You know, the whole thing of like, oh, we'll do a B1, B2 check on them and they'll do a criminal record.
Like, I think
that's not true.
Because obviously, I focus on women issues and stuff like that. It can lean into, and not to get too, you know, obviously, but lean into, like, is a rapist just, you know, is it just one opportunist time? Or is it a catalogue of behaviours that lead up to an incident or multiple little incidences that end up in it? You know, obviously, you said about somebody who's on, you know, just being derogatory about women online. You know, after a few drinks, is that person actually saying those things person to a actual person? Like, that's what they say online. We've got the barrier. But after a few drinks, like in the crew mess, some, you know, somebody's on their own, do they have the courage to go, rah, you're whatever? Do you know what I mean? And these behavior doesn't just, you know, most of the time, from my understanding, it doesn't just happen. It builds up to something. And I think being able to see that about people, I mean, you know, it'll only happen for so long, and then that loop will probably close as well, because people won't be posting stuff like that. I think that's already kind of happening in a way. You know, I know lots of people that have a online persona, and then they have, you know, or they step away from social media. Yeah.
Keyboard warriors.
Keyboard warriors. They're all on Yossi's name, fame and shame. I love this. There's a lot of angry people on that place.
There is.
I feel guilty because I feel like a bit of a voyeur. I'm like, oh, they're a bit angry, aren't they? And then you're going to start reading through and everybody's chipping in. It's, but then...
It's part of the culture.
Well, is that anywhere?
Some of it, there are, because obviously we're all in it. Some of it, like, they're like, do you know what? That has done some good. However, there is other sides of it where you're there like,
there is two sides to every story. I mean, from a female perspective, some women have been brave enough to put their experiences on Yossi's name, fame and shame. And the comments afterwards, like most are like, oh, you know, get help and all of these kind of things. But some comments, I'm just like, what? You know, even if you don't think, you're not 100% convinced the story is true, why are you saying that?
There was an example in particular where there was a boat posted in there, and I know the captain very, very well, very well. And it was a crew member that had been fired because of whatever reasons. And he posted up a load of lies in it, like a load of lies, to the point of it was only up there 48 hours. However, because it was proven and taken down. However, one, we're letting just anyone, kind of any person in the background, moderate that for starters. Secondly, that person had gone in there made up a load of rubbish, damaged the reputation of that boat and that captain when it was all just lies. And that becomes very dangerous. And but that's how it works. But it's wrong. But that's why I'm saying, like, some of it is good because it does bring to light the truth. And, like, you see some women in there speaking up and sharing their things. And it does the right thing, is in the sense of, like, that guy's name is now tarnished for all the right reasons. Because you can't obviously blacklist and all that sort of stuff, which I don't agree with anyway. But it's, you know, but in other ways, it can be very damaging for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but what does the industry expect when you don't create proper channels of accountability? Do you know what I mean? Like, let's be honest, what is Yachty's name, fame and shame? It's people going on there that feel like they haven't been heard, or what their grievances have been dismissed, or they've been treated like this. And it's a last resort. So, you know, if you haven't got proper channels where people can get these things ironed out, then that's, you know, that's where they're going to end up, aren't they?
That is unfortunate, yeah.
That's how it goes. So from your perspective, 2026, you know, crew pass, how do you, like, this for you, the focus is on just, again, just fine-tuning your what you're offering and trying to see if there's ways to just, you know, improve it.
The background checking and the ID checking is still our core business as such. However, I spent last year building the platform. This year, I'm going to roll it out across the industry. The idea is that crew members will have one profile, and they will share that with every recruiter, every management company. They'll never need to share documents. It's always kept in there. And everyone benefits from that verified information, whether it be work history, whether it be their documents, whether it be their identity, their background check, everything. And boats no longer have to do their compliance. Like, it's all just in one dashboard. And it's all there, all that information, no manual entry. I want to move towards that side of things. It will help a lot of crew members be safer because it creates accountability. You can't just erase your history. And that is my plan for 2026. And move into the wider maritime as well. The yachting industry is very small, very small.
Yeah, and shipping is very, very big.
Yeah.
And cruise ships and all of that kind of stuff. You know, they're big old industries. Oh, so you're going to be out and about doing this for 2026. I have to say, comrade, like, obviously, you know, we've known each other for a while now. And because I am focused on, you know, what's going on with females on board, it's possibly the most exciting, interesting and hopeful stuff that there is out there at this moment in time. Because there are a lot of, you know, there's lots of people saying very, very good things, but there's not a lot changing. There's not a lot of action. You know, the harassment thing is very nice, that's going through, and, you know, it looks like a positive change. But, you know, I've said this before, you know, when a whole team on the interior becomes invisible when you talk of minimum manning, how do you ever get everybody else to recognize, you know, a whole interior team, which is part of that vessel, when it comes to minimum manning of that vessel, literally become invisible. They don't exist. So how can we make everything else so serious to take, you know, our existence seriously and validate it, if even in the minimum manning, you're not there?
I'm part of quite a lot of, like, crew safety groups. I often just sit in the background and let everyone talk, and occasionally sit in on some of the webinars that they kind of do. And it's all kind of built around crew safety. You go to a lot of these, like, kind of conferences, and there is crew safety ones and everything like that. This is no kind of disremark to the kind of those people and whatever. You see a lot of people talking about it and not a lot of people kind of implementing it. There's been a lot of things that have happened in the past, like, year, 2 years, a lot of things that I think, with the right solution, I'm a problem solver. Like, I see a problem and I'm like, I want to solve it. Like, you came to me with a problem and like, all I want to do is solve it. It's not about the money for me. It's more about kind of creating a solution. I listen to a lot of these groups and a lot of people talking and a lot of people just keep talking and no one's really doing anything. And my strategic plan is, I just want to build something that works, that people benefit from and people get safe. Like, there's, and I genuinely believe I'm building the building blocks right now that are going to make a massive impact on a lot of yachty's lives and hopefully prevent something. It's not really measurable, but I think I'm really working towards that.
I think, no, but you said there's some fantastic people out there and, you know, there are some great conversations, but the industry is complicated and it's tricky to, you know, implement some of these things. And, you know, it is, you know, a conundrum that needs to be solved. But I believe, you know, I'm the same as you. I think a lot of this stuff could be solved.
I love a challenge.
Yeah. You know, What? No, but what's the worst that can happen? It all stays the same, you know. Okay. But we'll give it a shot. But no, I think 2026 is going to be very exciting. There's going to be lots on the horizon. But yeah, no, I think it's cool what you're doing.
Thank you.
It can only help. It can't make anything any worse. Do you know what I mean? If you stop 4 or 5 arseholes getting on board, or...
I've stopped way more than that already.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
And I enjoy that bit. So,
but they don't deserve. It is a fantastic industry. It's a fantastic group of people. They don't deserve to be on there. I don't think, anyway. No. Thank you for being my first Balls of Wisdom guest.
Look at that. The Balls of Wisdom.
Who would have thought Conrad had so much wisdom?
I don't know whether that's a compliment or not, but anyway.
No, I really do appreciate you taking the time and talking to me about what's going on with you. And long may it continue. And yeah, hopefully we can maybe do another series to see how it's all going. A very positive follow-up episode where the world has changed.
Thank you for anyone that's actually still listening now. Congratulations, well done, you stuck it out.
We tried to make that really interesting for you guys. If you've enjoyed this special episode of Balls of Wisdom, we have a whole series for you to listen to. Or if you would like to listen to the purely female side of the conversation, the Super Yacht Launch podcast is also available. But until the next time, I shall see you all later. Take care.